Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got through the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
What a get-go punt. Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. I am John Schmelk with you for the next 1 hour to talk some Giants football and talk some NFL football. 201-939-4513. That's the telephone number as we talk some Giants football here on Giants.com. And as the offseason moves forward, folks, I want to try to kind of split this up and talk about different positions as we go along. I felt like the show yesterday, we kind of breezed over a couple different spots. And that's fine. But as we go ahead for the next week and a half or so, I'm going to host a couple days. We'll have Lance and Paul on here. Anita will be in next couple weeks as well. I want to try to knock out specific positions as we get closer to free agency to discuss really what the Giants' plans might be, where they are at those spots, and exactly what their best plans might be moving forward to fill those spots. So I thought a couple different interesting ways to do this were as follows. I think the first thing you can do is pick one on offense and one on defense. That'll keep the conversation varied from day to day and give you a different thing to talk about on both sides of the football. We can discuss the draft prospects in those spots, and we can also discuss some of the free agents in those spots, too. If you just want to analyze in general what the Giants have at those positions, that's fine, too. So today I want to focus on defensive line, and I want to focus on the tight end position. I know the defensive line is pretty broad. We can do D-ends, we can do D-tackles, and the tight end's much more narrow, only a couple spots on the roster, and the Giants obviously had some success there last year. The question is, how much better do you want to get at that spot moving forward as the Giants try to figure out what their roster is going to look like in 2015? So let's start at the tight end position. And right now the Giants at tight end have Larry Donnell. Daniel Fells is a veteran that I thought did a pretty decent job in the time that he had here last year filling in as a spot guy, caught a little bit, blocked a little bit. Adrian Robinson, you saw get his first career touchdown, still didn't get a ton of snaps out there on the field. Is he finally going to be ready to step up and give you something? And then, quite frankly, a guy that I'm going to watch this offseason that maybe I'm even a little bit more excited about than Adrian Robinson, mostly because maybe he hasn't been here quite as long, is Jerome Cunningham. He's a guy that's on the bench, on the practice squad, excuse me. He showed a lot when he got here about 2 or 3 weeks in the training camp. He's a hard worker. He's got an NFL-caliber body. He's got a lot of speed. Now let's see if that can translate to the field. And I think that's an important thing moving forward with all these young players, is can they continue to translate these physical abilities to the football field? And Cunningham and Robinson are two guys that are young and are going to have to do that if they want to contribute. Adrian Robinson has been here for a while now. We know about his athleticism, the type of stuff that the Giants saw at the Combine and in his college career at Cincinnati that they thought could translate to the pros. It hasn't translated yet, and this will be the chance for him to once again earn a roster spot and earn playing time this year. But I think what you really have to break down, and we could talk about those prospects if you like, but how much confidence is there in Larry Donnell moving forward that he's your starter, you can stick with him, and he gives you everything you need? Now, I don't think there's any doubt that as a wide receiver, or as a receiver, excuse me, he has the athleticism, skills, catching radius, size, height that you like out of a tight end that could be effective in the passing game in this offense. Now, were there some inconsistencies maybe in route running and things like that? Sure. Were there issues with fumbles? Yes, we know that. But he cleaned that up towards the end of the year. He had a couple drops at the end of the year, but for the most part, his hands were also pretty darn good. So as a receiver, I think Larry Donnell has what it takes to be an NFL tight end. The question remains whether or not he's good enough as a blocker to be an every down tight end and help the Giants get into that physical, powerful running game that they want to be a more consistent football team offensively. And that to me is really the question that you have to ask. Can Larry Donnell block enough to be that every down tight end for you? And I think when you look at the Giants' issues running the football last year, you know, they're not a team that's going to use the fullback a ton with Henry Hanoski. They're going to use that tight end and that 11 personnel. And the tight end has to do a good job blocking. And I'm not sure Donnell was quite consistent enough in that area. He showed flashes. He certainly has the size and the frame to be a blocker. You know, he's a very thin guy, though. He's a guy that has to put on a little weight, put on a little muscle to become better in that category. So I do think that there's a window here for the Giants to find a two-way tight end that can both catch and block. And I'm not saying they have to be the best at their position at either one. I don't think that's necessary with the way this offense is set up. But a guy that can be consistent in both areas and help you in both ways that can come in here and provide good competition for Donnell moving forward. So if you can find that guy, and frankly, I think you're probably better off finding a player like that in free agency, only because guys that come out of college, it's very hard to get a complete tight end in college that can do a little bit of everything. It just is. Not a lot of these guys come out of systems where, you know, running the football and catching and blocking and receiving for a tight end are two things you have to do. That's just not the way it works generally. So I think you're better off finding a guy like that in free agency. Now, when you look at the free agents, you know, there are a couple big time. There's one big time name out there in Julius Thomas. Now, he's hurt a lot last year, more of a receiver than a blocker. I don't think you can break the bank for him, which he's going to want in free agency. I mean, he's going to want a lot of money. Daniel Fells is a guy that I think did good job here for the Giants in spot duty. I wouldn't mind having him back, having him in a position where he can be that two-way guy. But he is 31 years old. You maybe want to try to bring in a guy a little bit younger. Charles Clay is a converted fullback from years back. Not sure if he's your ideal tight end in terms of size at that position that you're looking for, but he can certainly play that H-back role that the Giants haven't had in quite a while. And so, you know, there aren't a ton of guys after that. I mean, taking a look at a lot of these names, I mean, Zach Miller's a guy that's been around for a long time. I'm not sure he's doing it for me. So I think that's a position you can target, but I'm not sure it's absolutely necessary either for the Giants to go forward at the tight end position. But I do think they can look to improve in terms of a two-way tight end. Now, let's jump over to the defensive line. And I think this is where we're probably going to get most of our calls and comments today, because I know a lot of people think defensive line is a place the Giants want to get better. You heard from Jerry Reese, Tom Coughlin, and John Mara after the season. All three guys spoke about the need to not only run the ball better on offense, and we talked about that with the tight end position, but also stop the run on defense. And I think when you get down to the crux of this last year, the Giants were not effective or consistent enough at the point of attack on the defensive line. Now, they did a pretty good job rushing the passer, especially the second half of the year. It's understood, and again, John Mara said this in his press conference after the year, it's understood that a lot of those sacks came against competition that, you know, is not the upper echelon of the NFL. We understand that. But they still count, and you still get sacks, and you got to do it against NFL caliber players. So are you comfortable enough next year going into the year with your three edge pass rushers being Jason Pierre-Paul, if you decide to bring him back, which is another thing we could talk about here? I think you franchise him, try to work out a long-term contract, and go from there. Robert Ayers, Kiwanuka's still in the contract. He's a veteran. We'll see what happens with him. And then you have Demontre Moore, the young pass rusher outside, and Kerry Wynn. Are you comfortable with that core group as your outside pass rushers? I think it's a pretty good group. Do I think it's a top group in the league? No, it's probably not top five, but I think it's definitely good enough to get consistent pressure on the quarterback. And I think those guys will do a good job rushing the passer if they get consistent downs, play in, play out. The defensive tackle, I think, is a little bit more interesting. You know, Colin Jenkins is over 30. He has 1 year left on his deal. We'll see how much he has left in the tank, and he battled some injuries in the last year. Jonathan Hankins, I thought, came on really strong, had a great sophomore year. Pro Football Focus ranked him as one of their best defensive tackles in football. I think he's better than good as a starting defensive tackle. I think he'll be fantastic playing there for most of the year. But then you got Marcus Kuhn. Is he a guy you want to continue to develop? Is Mike Patterson a veteran you want to bring back again? And then you got Jay Bromley, your third-round pick last year. You want to be able to give him a chance to contribute and get some run as a pass rusher and run stopper as a defensive tackle. Last year, based on what Perry Fuel said during the course of the season, profiled as more of a pass rusher at this point, need to get better stopping the run. And that's where I want to go with defensive linemen this offseason, whether it's in the draft, where there are a lot of good defensive linemen, especially in the first round, and even in free agency, you got to find guys that are going to be good, consistent players against the run. And it's not sexy. They're not big numbers, and I get that. But a lot of times you can find guys like that at good values because they don't put up the big numbers where, you know, teams are salivating over the sacks. So I think you can bring in guys that are good against the run without breaking the bank. That's going to help your team long term. I really do. So I think those are the areas the Giants are going to look at and try to address as they get into the offseason. 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Let's get to the phones. Go to Andrew in New Jersey first. Andrew, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, John?
How are you, Andrew?
Cooper Taylor, do you think he'll be a starter if we don't sign Antro Roll, or we'll probably lose one of the two safeties? And do you have any prediction which one we'll lose, if any?
Well, I mean, you got three free agents, so it's not a matter of losing them. It's a matter of whether or not you're going to bring them back. And I'm kind of a 50-50 right now on whether or not Roll's going to be back. I'm flipping a coin. I'm not sure. I think both sides of that negotiation want to be back, so I think that lends me to think that's going to happen. But again, you know, it's always at a price point. Last year, Justin Tuck wanted to be back. The Giants wanted him, but they couldn't figure out a number that worked for both sides. So I'm not sure about Roll. My instinct tells me I don't think we're going to see Stevie Brown and Demps back, but we'll see. I could very well be wrong about that. That's just my gut feeling on it. And what was your first question, Andrew?
Cooper Taylor, do you think he'll get a chance to start, especially if Stevie Brown is not re-signed?
Well, Cooper Taylor actually has to stay healthy first, and that's something he hasn't done his first 2 years in the league. So I can't even consider him for a starter's role until he proves to me he can come out of the preseason as a healthy football player. So Cooper Taylor has to prove that first. Look, you give him every opportunity to compete and play in, you know, preseason and training camp, but he hasn't proven he can stay healthy, and he has to do that before I can consider him in that type of role.
And my final question is, if you're in charge of the draft, and it's two scenarios, one, Antro Roll is re-signed, and one, he's not, and the best safety that you were talking about is still on the board, and the number one rated offensive lineman is also on the board, which player would you take? And I'll leave you. I'll listen to your answer. Thanks.
So you said offensive lineman or defensive lineman, Andrew, both at the same exact rating?
Of linemen, the number one guy is on the board, and the number one safety is on the board. Which one would you take?
Well, I mean, it depends who's the better player. I mean, it's impossible to say which guy I'm going to take if you're not talking about specific guys. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a situation here where, you know, it depends from guy to guy whether or not you want the safety or the offensive lineman. I mean, it depends. You know what I mean? I can't tell you which guy it's going to be if I'm not talking about two specific guys.
Well, the two guys that you were talking about yesterday.
Scherfer, Landon Collins. I will take Scherfer over Landon Collins 10 out of 10 times if it's me.
Okay.
Thank you, Andrew.
Sounds good.
Appreciate it, bud. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Elijah in Indianapolis next. Elijah, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Elijah?
Hey, so I'm not going to talk about Paul Dawson anymore today because I talked about him enough. But now we're talking about the tight ends and the D-line, is that correct?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so with the tight ends, who do we have on our – so you said Adrian Robinson, Larry Donnell, and then who else do we have at tight end position?
Well, Jerome Cunningham's a guy that's on the practice squad. He's very raw, but he has a lot of physical attributes. And Daniel Fells is a free agent this year, but he was under contract with the Giants last year. So right now, the only three under contract, all those three guys, Robinson, Cunningham, who has a future/practice squad contract, and then, of course, you have Larry Donnell.
Yeah, I agree with you saying earlier that we should get to pick up somebody in free agency in the draft. You know, I have to learn how to block and so forth, and that's a different level from going to college to the NFL. But I think I want to see Adrian Robinson step his game up, because definitely because he went to the same high school, Orange Central High School. So you know he's pitching like everywhere. But so I want to see him mature enough and get do what he has to do to start. And then I don't see Larry Donnell as being that top tight end that could block and catch. He's a catcher, but he can't. He can't do much after the catch. But and for the D-line situation, I think if we bring back Jason Pierre-Paul, Robert Ayers, I think we need one more defensive end, either in free agency or the draft. And then we have, is Colin Jenkins back this next year?
Colin Jenkins has 1 year left on his contract. That's correct.
Okay, so that should be okay. I think he should be a backup, definitely Kyle by his age. I think we need one more, you know, caliber defensive tackle to bring in. So that's all I have to say. Can you break that up and see how you think about that?
Thank you, Elijah. I appreciate it. I think your analysis is pretty on. I don't think there's much off about it. I'm curious to see what the overall feeling was, you know, and we'll find out when free agency gets here within the organization on Daniel Fells, on how happy they were with him and whether or not they are going to want to bring him back long term or not, or at least for, you know, a couple years. He's 31 years old. You're not going to give him a 4 or 5 year deal for big money by any means. But I'm curious to see exactly how well the organization thought of him as that type of two-way tight end, if they think he can be that guy. Remember, he was out of football last year. It probably took him a little while to get back into the flow of things, get back into the gear, and, you know, get back into the NFL way. So I think it'll be interesting to see whether or not they decide to bring him back as that veteran two-way tight end, the type of guy I was talking about. So I think that's number one. I think that's interesting. On the defensive line, I think you're going to get enough pass rush out of JPP, assuming he plays a lot more like he did in the second half of the year than he did in the first half of the year. You know, Robert Ayers, before he tore his bicep, was very, very effective as a pass rusher. And then I think Demontre Moore, you finally had to give him the chance here and give him some snaps. I think he's been here long enough. He should be mature enough to be consistent out there and make some plays. So I think that's how you look at it at defensive end. The tackle, I do think you need to add a body. I don't think you can come back with the exact same four guys as last year. I think you need to bring a little more talent in here. But I will say this, Jay Bromley could be that guy too. I mean, Jay Bromley could be the additional talent that you bring in that beats out a Kuhn, beats out a Patterson, and shows some ability to penetrate. Remember, Hankins didn't play a ton as a rookie either. He played a lot more than Bromley did, but he didn't play a ton of snaps. You know, you have a chance to move Bromley into this rotation. Maybe he can give you something. And he was a third-round pick. He had great production at Syracuse. And I think next year's the year for him to step in now and do a good job. Do you really want to bring in somebody either in, you know, an early-round pick this year or in free agency that keeps Bromley out of your rotation? I'm not sure you want to do that. You want to give Jay Bromley the opportunity to step in here, play a little bit, and do some damage as a defensive lineman. 201-939-4513. Keith in Kentucky is next. Keith, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, John?
How are you, Keith?
I'm doing all right, you know, but I could completely agree with you, John. And the more and more I start looking at this picture that Jerry Reese is painting, I can't say that I can totally put it together because it's too early.
Yeah.
But the thing about it, it's reported that we're supposed to sign Brent Jones, a center, out of the Canada League.
Yes, but you know what? This is a guy, again, if the report is true, this is a Paul Schwartz report. The Giants haven't confirmed anything. Nothing is final. Let me stress that first. But let's not try to put eggs in the basket of a CFL player that's never set foot on an NFL team before.
Right, right. But I think if we do sign him, it's strictly for death purposes, you know? That's all I'm really thinking on that.
Yes.
So, but I would think as far as free agency goes, as far as the tight end, I think you would bring in somebody like a Clay. Just somebody that can catch and block, because that's really what we're needing right now to relieve the stress off of Beckham and Victor Cruz. We need that tight end that can do both, that can play both sides, you know, on the blocking and the pass catching. And that would relieve a lot off the wide receivers. It would relieve a lot off the offensive line. And defensive-wise, I was listening to y'all yesterday, and y'all made some great, you know, y'all made some great points. But I think Landon Collins, that's really what we're missing. That's what we had. We had that in Will Hill when we had a strong safety that can come down and play in the box.
Yeah, but Will Hill was also very good in coverage, though. And I think there are some fair questions right now based on what I've read about Collins. And I watched Alabama play a couple times last year with his ability to cover and his instincts in coverage and ability to play, you know, center field. And I think with the way the NFL is now, Keith, your safeties have to be able to play coverage. You know, the days of just having a safety that plays in the box and that's it, those days are over. Even a guy like Cam Chancellor, who's, you know, 6'3", 240, he's covering Rob Gronkowski. He can do that. I'm not sure Collins has that skill. I'll know more after I see some of his test results at the combine.
Right, okay. And my last real question for you is about Soup Harris. You've probably seen more than any of us. Do you really think this kid can come up and back up Ruben Randle, Beckham, and Cruz?
I think Marcus Harris has the opportunity to be the fourth or fifth wide receiver on this team if he comes back healthy and plays the way he did in camp last year. I could tell you, last year in camp, before he got hurt, I thought Marcus Harris was in practice more impressive than Corey Washington and more impressive than Preston Parker. Then he got hurt.
Oh,
so we'll
okay,
see.
Good.
Again, I'm not saying he looked like, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. or Victor Cruz now, but I do think he'll have a legitimate shot to earn a spot on this roster if he comes into the spring and summer healthy with the Giants next year.
Okay. All right. Thanks, John.
Hey, appreciate it, Keith. Good to hear from you as always, my friend. 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants chat on Twitter. Let's go to Brian in Philly next. Brian, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, John?
How are you, Brian?
Good, good, good. See, I want to just mention on the last caller's comment real quick. I think that Marcus Harris got great hands, can run good routes. I've seen it in the preseason game, and it disappointed me because he got hurt.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be real good with us. We ain't worried about wide receiver, but what I wanted to say is, you know what I think? Out of all, you know, we talk about draft picks, first round, second round, what's wrong with getting an offensive lineman in the second round? We did it last year with Weston Richburg. I think, you know what I
There's
think?
There's nothing wrong with
I
that.
I think Jerry... Right, I think Jerry Reese going to kind of do what he did last year, but instead of getting what I call a sexy player like Odell Beckham, he's going to do the same thing on the defensive side of the ball because now we got Spagnuolo. And I think Spag's going to be in his ear saying, look, we need another impact player like Beckham, but we need that on defense. And I could have sworn I heard the caller. Could have been before me or before him. That said something about Landon Collins, the guy from Alabama.
Yeah.
Because, listen, I know there's offensive linemen that we see, and they look big, 6'6", 320. I see it all the time, and I think, ah, man, but we don't have to necessarily get that in the first round. It could be quality linemen in other rounds or quality tight ends like or defensive linemen, but I think we're going to get a nice player on defense, a big impact player on defense, regardless if it's safety, linebacker, or defensive lineman. I just got a feeling since we had so much success on the offensive side of the ball with draft and Beckham, I think we're going to do the same thing but on the defensive side of the ball.
You know, Brian, and I happen to agree with you only because I also believe that there's going to be more of an opportunity to get a big-time impact player on defense in that nine-pick range than, say, an offensive lineman. To me, right now, and again, this could change. This is still a long way from the draft. The only offensive lineman to me that fits what the Giants need that's worth picking in that ninth spot is the kid out of Iowa, Scherf. So if he's not going to be there, I don't think there's another offensive lineman I'm going to take. So you're going to look at a couple linebackers. There shouldn't be a linebacker off the board at that point, so you'll have your pick of the litter. You should be able to get a defensive tackle at that point. Maybe the Dante Fowler kid, a defensive end, could be on the board.
Wow,
So you're going to have your choice there of guys that can help your front seven, and I think Collins will probably still on the board at 9 too. Now, some people have him in the top 10. I'm not sure I would put him there right now. We'll see what happens at the combine, then obviously there's pro day and things like that. But I think there's a really good chance here for the Giants to get an impact player on defense with that ninth pick. And right now, I think that's probably the most likely scenario simply based on the type of players that are coming out in this draft and how they're ranked in the first round.
Mm-hmm. True. One more quick thing before I go real quick. Now, I think we're okay on the offensive side of the ball. Yeah, I think that that offensive lineman – coming out of Iowa is good. But I honestly think, and I tell a lot of Giants fans here in Philly, that we should move Pugh back, not back, but obviously he started at tackle. We should move Pugh to guard. I think he's a better guard. His size, his arms, I think he's more of a better guard. Now, in that aspect, yeah, an offensive lineman could go. I mean, we could draft an offensive lineman in the first round. You know what I mean? Just to strengthen up our line only because of Dallas and what Dallas did. You know what I mean?
Well, and I'll say this too. If the Giants get to 9 and they look at their board and they say, well, you know what? The offensive lineman that we see here at number 9 is ranked significantly higher than any other player we have on the board, then guess what? They're going to take the offensive lineman. So
they're going to take them,
exactly. No question about it. It's all a matter of what player is ranked highest when they get there at 9. you know, if it's like a quarterback, then no, they're probably not going to make that pick, to be quite honest with you. But I think any other spot is probably up for grabs at this point. I mean, look, this team won 6-10 last year. They went 7-9 the year before. You need the best players possible to fill out this roster, no matter where they play. And I understand there are needs in certain spots, but if the Giants get denied, and even if it's at a position where the, you know, the fans and the media don't see it as a position of need, Brian, and they say, you know what, we think this is going to be an 8-time Pro Bowler, 5-time All-Pro type of player. How can you pass that up when you're trying to put together a team with the most talent possible? It's a very hard thing to do.
Right. And, you know, I trust our staff, like Jerry and Mark Ross, or something, that's his name. You got it right. I trust those guys draft good people. Those guys draft good people. So I trust our staff that they're going to, because they're probably studying right now. They've been studying for so long. So I believe that we're going to have a good player, a good, I'm going to say first three. You know how we are, the first three draft picks usually supposed to play significant time. So I believe, I see us doing real good in the draft, because I think we did so well last year in this draft that even the owner's probably saying, hey, look, he wants another draft class like last year. So that'll be my last thing.
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, my friend. Now I want to go through a couple of the assumptions that Brian made there. And I think there are things you have to worry about. Number one, you don't know that Pugh's going to be better inside. You don't know if he's better suited to play inside. Why? He's never done it before. And I know scouts coming out of college, oh, short arms, he's better inside, that's fine. The kid has never played inside. Before he came to the NFL, he never played on the right side. He was always a left tackle. So to go from left tackle, where, you know, quickness, speed, and footwork is your top thing, and you go into guard, where you become much more of a power player. And, of course, movement is important and pulling and things like that, too. I'm not trying to discount that. But it's a very different position. And that could be a transition that could take some time, too. That might not be a super easy transition. Again, if the Giants choose to do something like that. You know, Jerry Reese, when he spoke to Mike Francesa a couple weeks ago, said that was something that they would, you know, talk about and consider, but it's not a decision they've made so far. Just something to keep in mind moving forward. Another assumption. Guys, it's way too early to analyze the last two draft classes, whether you consider them good or bad. Draft classes, it takes about 3 years to figure out if they're really, really good. Like, for example, everyone thought that 2007 draft class was going to be absolutely off-the-wall fantastic based on their first year. Now, they helped to win a Super Bowl, so was that great? Sure. But, you know, Steve Smith ends up getting hurt, which is a darn shame, but it happened. Aaron Ross had hamstring injuries, ended up not signing a second contract. You know, so in 3 years, that 2007 draft class didn't look nearly as good after 1 year. Then again, other draft classes, they first get there, you're like, oh, boy, these guys aren't doing a whole lot. Then in 3 years, they look fantastic. So you have to be patient with these guys and see how these players develop as NFL players before you start making final conclusions on how good these draft classes are. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Nugs in Minnesota. Nugs, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's going on, bro?
How are you, Nugs?
I'm doing pretty good. We're getting a little bit of hail or something out here. So.
Oh, boy. That sounds like fun, Nugs. I'll be in Indianapolis in a week, so if you can just get all the snow out of the way in the Midwest now, get it all out of the way, then when I show up next Wednesday, how about sunny and 60 degrees? Can you make that happen for me?
No, but I'll try to get down there and start shoveling before you guys get there.
All right, I appreciate that, Nugs. Thank you.
I wanted to chime in on what the last couple fans have been talking about.
Yeah.
I agree with you. It's too early to evaluate draft classes. Guys will look good for 1 year, and then, you know, injuries, whatever, you know, turnover in the roster. You know what I mean? A guy who was a starter last year might be a backup.
Well, no, I want to give you a perfect example. You know, Julius Thomas was a guy for the Broncos that didn't play an offensive snap for 2 years. Then he comes out in his third year, and he's an all-pro Pro Bowl tight end. So, I mean, guys can take big leaps. You know, maybe Jay Bromley next year is going to come out and be an absolute monster. Maybe Cooper Taylor gets healthy, and all of a sudden, wow, that was a great pick. Cooper Taylor is a starting caliber safety. I mean, you just don't know sometimes with how young players develop. It really varies from guy to guy.
And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I hate it when I hear fans try to give a guy's job who – got drafted, has made the team 2 years, and now it's his turn to be the next man up. Yeah, he's an unproven commodity, but we have to have faith in the fact that our coaching staff hasn't just been ignoring this guy for 2 years. They've been developing him and developing him to the point where, okay, now he's the next man up. Let's see if he's ready for it.
Yeah, no, and that's the key. It's the next man up. Let's see if he's ready for it. It's not let's hand him a job. It's let's give him a chance to win that job. And I think that's the way the Giants operate. And I think that's why sometimes fans, Nugs, and I think, I'm not sure if you said this before or not, but people get the idea, well, you know, Coach Coffey doesn't like to play rookies. Well, no, he makes rookies earn their way onto the field. He doesn't just hand these guys jobs. And exactly. In my opinion, that's the right way to do things.
Yeah, because if you just hand a guy a job, then he starts reading his own press clippings, and now the whole team gets caught up in the hype because, you know, now this guy, he didn't feel like he had to earn it. You're trying to take away that sense of entitlement that a lot of players have on other teams. You know what I mean?
Yes, no question.
So my point is this. We just got Spags. I don't want to move Justin Pugh around. I want continuity. You know, he's played 2 years at tackle. Let him stay out there. Let him stay out there. That's where he's comfortable. I don't want him learning no new techniques.
Yeah, Nugs, it's funny you say that, too. I talked to him after the year, and he made a big deal about how comfortable he is at right tackle finally and how he really feels like that's his position now. And
exactly.
I did, and just from the sense from talking to him, I don't think he would be – he'd do anything the coaches ask him. I'm not trying to say he wouldn't. But if it was his preference, if it's his preference, he would much rather stay at right tackle.
Exactly. Right. And that's his job. He's proven that he can do the job. I mean, look at the year Eli had last year. Eli had a comeback at a player a year last year with Justin Pugh at right tackle. That's a big part of your offensive line, is a big part of the production of your quarterback. Okay, so I would rather see us try to get these guys healthy, like Schwartz and Walton or whoever else was injured last year. Get these guys back healthy on the O-line, and that's just like a draft pick. That's just like another free agent, because these dudes didn't play last year. Okay, now getting back to what my original point was.
Yeah, no problem, Doug. Sorry about that. I kind of dragged you in a errant direction there.
You know, I love topping up football with you guys. You know, I bleed this giant blue. So what I'm trying to say to the fans is situational football, okay? If we got an offense that's putting up 30 points a game, guess what? The other team's got to pass to keep up with us.
That's true.
Therefore, Spags with these packages that put pressure on the quarterback, you know what I mean, come into play.
Right, but remember, those packages, Nugs, don't mean a whole lot if you don't get a lead. And I think that's maybe one of the reasons early in the year some of those sack numbers might not have been where you wanted them to be. If you're playing from behind, it makes it awfully tough to rush the passer.
Exactly, especially when a team can still run on you or pass. They got a two-way option every play. But guess what? I feel like this offense is an offense that can come out and, boom, put up 14 points on you guys. You know what I mean? Our defense can come out fresh in that first quarter, get a couple stops. Our offense can put up 10, 14 points, and now these guys are playing from behind. If they're a disciplined team that's just going to stick to their guns, kind of like a Seattle.
Or Dallas.
Then, okay, we'll still have to look out for the two-way go. But eventually, if we keep putting up points, we're going to have to abandon the run game. At which point, our mediocre DNs, and I'm not saying mediocre DNs can make the Pro Bowl when they know it's going to be passed. Eight out of ten plays, we just pinning our ears back. So my point is this. I don't want to mess with the continuity on the offensive line. I don't want to see us trying to replace Larry Donnell. He was a top 10 tight end. If anything, I would want to see us in that first round. If the offensive lineman is gone, okay, I want to see us go get weapons. Guy, some dude who's going to translate to more points. Not necessarily at the running back position, but at another wide receiver. I would not mind that at all. You know, I think if we're going to get a playmaker on defense with that pick, it needs to be a linebacker. and needs to be a linebacker. Cooper Taylor's paid his dues. Yeah, he couldn't stay healthy them 2 years, but if he's healthy and he's picking up the system, I want to see what this dude's got other than, because if we go and draft a rookie to come and take his spot, and then we put that guy in there and he's having rookie mistakes, now the Giants fans are going to be calling up like, oh my God, we had Cooper Taylor, he had more experience, blah 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 blah. You know, it's like a two way go. But at the end of the day, points wins games. You win games by scoring more points than the other team. We've got an offense that can do that. Let's make sure that our lead offensively is solid. Look at Dallas. They lost their best defensive player, but still had a way better defense than they had last year. Why is that? Because their offensive philosophy changed.
Well, and then that goes back to trying to run the ball and, frankly, stopping the run and getting the other opponent off the field. Nugs, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Yep, thanks.
Good stuff, man. And look, I'm not saying you don't worry about offense here in the draft, and I don't think you, frankly, say at any position, I'm not drafting a guy here, except maybe quarterback if you sign Eli to that extension. And I don't think you can ever say that I'm not drafting a guy at this spot no matter what, especially when you're coming off two seasons where the Giants have. If you're at, you know, 11-5, 12-4, and you're trying to put yourself over the top for a Super Bowl, do you maybe commit more to a single position to try to help you now? Yeah, I think maybe in those types of situations it's more likely. But the Giants are trying to build here, build a foundation, build a base, build a core. And I think by doing that, you can't rule out spots because you might lose out on a very talented player that's going to be great for you. And to get a great player on a rookie contract is something that can't be replicated in free agency. It can't be replicated anywhere else, so you can't pass on those type of guys. Shakes in Baltimore, Maryland's up next. Shakes, what's going on at 201-939-4513? What's going on, pal?
What's going on, John?
How are you, Shakes? You got in early in the show today. What's going on?
Nothing much, man. Great points by a lot of callers. That's good stuff. But I got a lot of points here.
All right. Lay them on me.
First off, I've been saying the same thing, and I agree with you about P moving to guard. I can't stand when these fans come on and they be like, oh, yeah, he's better at guard. Oh, he's better at guard. Well, he never played at guard.
Yep.
So how do you know he's better at guard?
Nobody knows now, if he's better at guard. And, you know, Shakes, he's 6'5", 6'6". You know, he's just over 300 pounds. I'm not sure if he can create the type of leverage you need to get that type of push at the guard position. I don't know if there's any guarantee of that.
Yeah, I don't know neither. But here's the thing. I like what Jerry Reese said. If we bring in a guy that's better at tackle and we move him at guard, we good. I'm with that. But again, somewhat what Nug said, I want continuity on his offensive line. So if Pugh is good at right tackle, let him stay there. But if you do get a guy that's better than him, yeah, move. Well, that brings me to Scherff, mm-hmm. because you said you go Scherff 10 out of 10 times over Collins.
I would, yes.
Well,
I don't think Landon Collins is Earl Thomas. If you're telling me Landon Collins and you're guaranteeing me that he's Eric Berry, that he's Earl Thomas, that he's a guy of that caliber, we're going to have a different conversation. But based on what I've seen and read about Landon mm-hmm. Collins, I don't think he's at that level. Now, maybe my mind will change about that in about 3 months. But that's why I would go Scherff over Collins right now. Not because I don't think the safety position is important. I just don't think right now, and this is just my opinion, that Collins is an Earl Thomas caliber player. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Let me make a point about both of those players.
Yeah.
Okay, no, don't get me wrong. I think both of those players are good, and they'll fit in the Giants nice. But here's the thing about Scherff. Now, Scherff, they saying the same thing that they were saying about Pugh. He might be good going to guard. So,
well, same thing they say about Zach Martin, too.
Nine, a guy that you might be throwing at guard or he might be at right tackle. At nine, he better be a left tackle or an anchor of your line.
What if Scherff plays like Zach Martin did last year for the Cowboys?
At nine, though, I don't know.
First team All-Pro? First team all pro.
Yeah, but a dog at nine, though, you know.
Well, look, Louis, but
it
again,
don't fit
the,
well with me.
The Cowboys put Martin at guard because they had Doug Free at tackle. Now, maybe if Free leaves in free agency, they're going to put Martin out in right tackle. I don't know what they're going to do
down there.
I have no idea. So, the Giants could use Sherfitt guard. They could use him at right tackle. What I like about him, Shakes, is that everything I've read about is that he is a blue-collar guy and he's got a mean streak. I want some mean guys on that offensive line, and everything I've read about him fits the profile of the type of offensive lineman that I'm looking for.
No, he does. He is a nasty offensive lineman. I'll give you that. I have no problems with Surf. I just have that kind of issue of, you know, at nine, taking a guard or a right tackle. But I hear you.
Go
on Collins, though.
Yeah.
Collins can cover, okay? He can. Now, he is susceptible to some things, but he can cover. Now, I don't know if he's Earl Thomas-like cover. I wouldn't say that. But he can cover, and you are absolutely right. We'll see more at the combine to evaluate that more. Another thing, Larry Donnell, I don't think that he can be a blocker. You can get all the muscle you want in the world. You can beef up all you want to. But you got to have it in you. Just like you told me about them running backs that pick up them pass protection blocks. You got to have it in you.
No, I think that's fair.
You have to be a blocker.
I think that's fair.
And I don't think that Larry Donnell has it in him. So, with that being said, though, I think he's a quality guy to be a starter, but just use him in various situations where he's not asked to edge block, you know? That's why you bring in a guy like, I think you don't go in a free agency and get a tight end. I think you go in that draft. It's guys that could be in the late rounds, like the kid that showed out in the Senior Bowl from Delaware, Boyle. It's another guy that my boy keeps bringing up, Blake Bell from Oklahoma. It's guys that's out there in this draft that could be in late rounds that you can pick up that can help seal those edges and be that type of tight end that you need. So that's where I'm going with at tight end.
All right. Shakes, I have no problem with that strategy, and I think you make some good points. I'm not willing to say yet that Larry Donnell doesn't have it in him to block. I think his body type doesn't lend itself to being a super powerful inline blocker. I do think that's an issue, and, you know, he can work on that body and try to get himself a little bit better in that regard. But I think this is a big year for him to prove whether or not he can be a two-way tight end. I think it's a lot to ask. The first year a tight end plays a lot to do both. Now it's time for him to get better, improve, and become that guy. And we'll see if he can do it. But I have no problem late rounds picking a guy. I know you mentioned Boyle. He's 6'6", 270. He's a big guy that can go in there and block and seal and do the type of dirty work you want a tight end to do. I got no problem with that.
Yep. And my last point here is this. You bring up Bromley, you know, he can step up. And, I think that that's good, but I think that's why I always press that we need to play these rookies. I'm not saying give these rookies a starting job, but let them get some experience so their second year maybe they could get plugged in. But now I feel like now he got to get some more experience. So now you have him as a rotational player. I feel like we need to bring in a starter. I don't think that Jenkins has it anymore in him. If you ask Jenkins to start for you 16 games, I think it's pressing.
So, hey, let me put this way, Shakes. Bromley will have every opportunity to show in the spring and the summer that he deserves to play, maybe even start. I could see. I don't think it's out of the question that he could be starting next to Hankins next year. He'll have the opportunity to do it, and I don't think lack of experience is going to hold him back, to be quite honest with you. He did a good job in the classroom last year, and I think that's good enough to put him into the lineup. I appreciate it, Shakes. Thanks, bud. I got to move on.
All right. Thanks, John.
Thanks, dude. Appreciate it. Keith in New York. Keith, you're up next.
Hi. I'm a first-time caller.
Well, Keith, thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening, pal.
Thank you. I kind of agree with you on Landon Collins. I don't think, to me, I wouldn't draft a safety in the first round. Like, one of my favorite players ever was Sean Taylor. And, I don't think you should draft a safety that high unless you're getting at least that type of athleticism out of a safety.
Yeah, I need a guy that can play sideline to sideline and be that shutdown center field type of guy. And again, I haven't done a ton of work on Collins. I've done some rudimentary stuff on him, and I'm not 100% sold that he's that guy. And if I'm not 100% sold, I'm not using a top 10 pick on him.
Me either. I feel like we just get, like, a good linebacker or a tackle in the first round and pick up a safety, kind of like a center fielder like Gerard Holloman, and put him back there with Entrell Roe and let him roam center field while Entrell Roe comes down in the box.
Yeah, you know what, though? I don't mind Roe. I think Roe's better when he's playing that center field role. I think he was able to do a lot of that last year when the Giants had Will Hill playing close to the line of scrimmage and Roe played center field. I think he was very good in that role, and I think that's where he's best, to be honest with you, at this point.
I agree, but I feel like he also played the run so exceptionally well that, like, we could have another safety back there, man in the center of the field, while he kind of helps out as, like, an extra linebacker down in the box.
Hey, look, and he can do that too, and that's why Roll's a valuable player, and I think that flexibility that Roll gives you to play deep, to play in the line of scrimmage, and even in a pinch, again, you don't want it, but to play in the slot is what makes him such a valuable contributor, and one of the reasons I think there's a decent chance that the Giants bring him back. Thanks for the call, Keith. Appreciate you being part of the show.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, man. 201-939-4513. Got about 10 minutes to go. We'll try to get in a couple more calls. Rolando in Queens is up next. Rolando, what's going on?
Hey, Johnny boy, how are you, bro?
Rolando, how are you, man?
Good. I want to stay on the subject matter and what you were talking before, and that's the tight end and the defensive line. And that, I know even Larry Donnell was saying the same thing, that he seemed to be overwhelmed of the size of the men that he was defending. Just an idea, John. Do you think that maybe he could have a one-on-one session with Cross? Like, you know, cross-tutoring the kid maybe for a week, teach him how to, you know, man block. And
Can Howard Cross lend them about 40 pounds of muscle?
Well, that really, Johnny, come on. That comes from maturity. Really.
Well, I mean, it also comes from genetics. I mean, some guys are just naturally larger framed. I mean, if you stand Howard Cross next to Larry Donnell, they might be the same height. But just in terms of the frame of their shoulders, Cross is just a much bigger guy. I mean, Howard is almost built like an offensive tackle.
An offensive tackle, yeah. Right. But you're also really, no disrespect to Howard, an older gentleman, more mature, more, you know, built into his frame, and Larry Donnell becoming that. And I'm just saying he might not be that, because we always put these young men into something that they could become, but we just hope that they can maybe just reach that level enough to help us, you know, progress. And towards the defensive line, Johnny, if we can get JPP, and I hope we really can, I have my fingers crossed, everything crossed, that I hope Bromley could be our Hankins this year, and he can give us that kind of production.
Right.
And given the fact that we're, I'm trying to make it fast.
Rolando, go ahead.
I like the way we're going. We have to continue the fact that we're trying to replenish our defensive line because of injuries and bad draft choices and age. Now I see the kid, the third rounder from Texas A&M.
DeMontre Moore.
Yes, I see his progress, bro. I seen how he held the edge. I seen him coming on, and they were saying that most of his problem is weight. But he already made a pledge earlier this year that watch him this year.
You know, Rolando, it's funny, and I just want to interrupt you for a second, and I will let you finish. That I talked to him after the year. I think I did a radio interview with him. I think it was before the Week 14 game, and I talked to DeMontre Moore about it. I said, DeMontre, you know, one of the things you've talked about is trying to put on weight. And he goes, yeah, John, I want to put on weight. I've been trying to put on weight. The way my metabolism and body works, I can eat like a cow, like an elephant, and I can work out, but the weight just comes off of me. So I might start the year at 255, but by mid-season, just because of all the work we put in, I'm down 7-8 pounds. So he has trouble putting on weight. That's one of his goals. He's trying to do it, but his body just won't let him put on the type of pounds he wants.
Okay. Patterson, no. Marcus Kuhn, I'll have him there for competition to see who we do bring in, if we bring in a Danny Shelton and maybe sign someone else. I have two questions, John. And,
yeah.
And they've just been, like, on my head since last night.
Sure.
And that's, if we're having trouble with JPP, and not so much with JPP, but with his agent, and let's just say, I know it's called tampering, but there's a lot of times there are offers being made on the QT. What if there is an offer out there and he decides to be difficult, hoping to push a trade? And we put the tag on him for $14 million, and he's still he doesn't want to sign a long term contract. Will you consider trading him? Will you consider trading him before the draft, say to Jacksonville, to get their draft picks?
So you're saying they franchise JPP, and then
yes.
He comes back and says, "I refuse to play under the franchise tag, and I want a ridiculous long term contract."
I say his agent says that he wants a ridiculous contract because he's been offered something off the record that they want the Giants to match.
Okay.
And we can't match it for the fact that we're going to be long-term strapped. You know, now it's going to be, say, Eli Manning and JPP as our biggest contract on our team with Victor Cruz. Now we have a choice. And I'm just thinking, you know, I'm just throwing it out there, bro. I see this. I want JPP back. He's my building block for our future with the Hinkins and the Montre Moore and the Bromley and maybe a Danny Shelton coming on. You know, I could see that line.
You know what? I don't see – honestly, I don't see it in JPP's personality to pull something like that. I really don't. I don't see that happening.
John, I'm not saying him. I'm saying his agent.
Yeah, but his agent wouldn't do it without his approval. These agents aren't just doing things without getting the player's approval first.
But again, it's negotiation, Johnny boy. And that fact, for the, you know, they're going to try to get as much as they can, and it's always for, you know, for the sake of the family, which is really for the sake of their own lining their pockets. You know, they want as much as they can. It's a business. We keep hearing that from them now more than ever before.
Yeah, but I think JPP wants to be a Rolando, and I think he wants to be a Giant. And I think, honestly, I'm not saying he's going to sacrifice a lot of millions, but I think that, you know, he maybe would sacrifice a couple million of non-guaranteed money to be here with the Giants rather than go to a different place. I honestly believe that.
Okay, good. Then, here, Johnny, never mind. No, okay. that one of the Saturday night stuff. The second thing.
Yeah, finish up.
Were you willing to trade our 9 to 12 to get the extra 3? I'll take it off the air. Take care, bro.
Drop from 9 to 12 to get an extra third. Oh, boy. I would want more than just a 3 to move down 3 spots in the first round. That's my initial reaction to that question. I'd have to bring up the value chart and see what that tells me. But, I mean, the 9 and 12 could be a big difference. I don't know where that drop-off is going to happen in the first round from super elite talent to that next level. Maybe it's there, maybe it's not, in which case you can get a guy at 12 that's just as good as 9, and that means you get an extra third-round pick out of it. That's great. It's hard for me, Rolando, to answer that question without knowing who's on the board at that point. And the Giants don't know yet either, to be quite honest with you, because they haven't done their rows yet either for where they think guys fit and where the grades are and things like that. So I think it's too early for that type of question, to be honest with you. Final call of the show is Jeff in Rhode Island. Jeff, what's going on?
Hey, Johnny, how you doing today?
Good, Jeff. How are you, pal?
Okay. Lots of snow, buddy. Lots of snow.
Yeah, you know what?
I don't think I'll be seeing any grass till probably after April Fool's Day.
Yeah, I actually had to drive up to New Britain, Connecticut last night to do a basketball game. So I was up on Route 15, and boy, Connecticut, the northern parts of it, is just inundated with snow. It's brutal.
Yeah, it's something. It's something. Yeah, you know, in the draft, I think we're going to need more. To me right now, we need more help on the defensive side of the ball. So I think maybe in a draft, we should probably be leaning more towards defensive picks. However, my question was, I was wondering if you think the Giants might have any interest in the tight end from wants to leave Cleveland, Jordan Cameron.
Yeah, and you know what, Jeff? Someone on Twitter asked about that, too. You know, Jordan Cameron's a very talented guy. I know he's a good receiver. I'm honestly not that sure about his blocking ability. I'll have to look into that. He was injured a lot last year. But he is very talented. I bet you he's going to get a fairly sizable contract. I'm sure the Giants will look at him. If they can get him on a deal that they think helps, I'm sure it's something they consider. I know he's probably considered the second best tight end that's available in free agency after Julius Thomas. So I think it's someone that they'll talk about and consider. I think it depends on the price, but he's a he's a good football player. I will say that.
Yeah, he had a big – I guess he was kind of banged up last year, but the year before, I believe he had something like 80 catches. So that's certainly something to consider. Okay, buddy, you have a good day. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it. Let me go through this here real quick. Go through some tweets at Mike Farmer. Oh, man, we're talking about JPP. I missed it. Sorry, I was in the bathroom. You're in the bathroom for the past 2 months. It's impressive. It's one heck of a deposit. Ben Gruen, the fifth-year option, the current CBA is more expensive for top 10. Then trading back to 12 would be more effective, cost-effective long-term option. That's actually a good point, Ben. Depending on where you draft a guy, activating that fifth-year option for the first-round pick, the price changes. So I think that's actually pretty interesting. And Ben also makes a good point, and I was going to say that. JPP wouldn't have any other offers to match because that would be tampering. Because you franchise somebody way before free agency starts. At NYG Reporter, my man Robert, wouldn't mind seeing us bolster the O-line in round two and use a skill position guy with that first-round pick. He said wide receiver, cornerback, or safety. Well, I wouldn't consider quarterback or safety skill position spots. From what I could tell, not a lot of corners are considered top 10 talent in this draft. So I'm not sure I'd go there, especially with Prince, a former first-round pick, under contract and spending all that money on Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie last year. He asked, would defensive tackle be an option there? It's not a sexy position. Look, you got to stop the run. It might not be sexy, but you need to do it to win. So I think if you have a defensive tackle that you think is good enough, good to go. Big Dash 07088, Landon Collins is Roy Williams, can't cover. I think that's a little strong. You know, Roy Williams blew coverages and that got him out of the league pretty quick. He was good the first couple years in Dallas, but that's about it. And I wouldn't quite put Landon Collins in that territory, to be quite honest with you. Let's see. Stu DeMeglio, good to hear from Stu. Agree with caller, defense first round, O-line second round. Mr. Ruiz, 81, I think Fells was good, not great. He did a better job than Dale and Robinson as a combined position, blocking and receiving. Avery, if Bromley can beat out Kuhn and Patterson next year, we'll have concerns with him having drafted him in the third round. We got to see if they decide to re-sign Mike Patterson first. And I think Bromley will be given that opportunity. Joe Edwards, at Joe Broken, can we please, please build an O-line that can protect Eli and move people on running plays? And, Joe, that is going to be a big factor here. And I think running the ball is even more important than protecting Eli. I thought the pass protection was good enough last year, as I said to you on Twitter. Was it good enough? No, but I think it was getting there, especially late in the year. It got much, much better as the year went along. Thanks for the tweets, guys. Thanks for the calls. Tomorrow we'll have Mr. Dottino in. We'll see if I host with him or not, depending if I'm in the mood to hear Paul do his thing for 60 minutes. I'll see if I can handle that emotionally. But he'll be with you then, and Lance will be with you on Thursday here on Big Blue Kickoff. Then I'm back on Friday. We'll do shows live from here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week, and then we head to the Combine. I'll be live out there Thursday and Friday with a slew of draft expert guests. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow on Giants.com. Have a good one, everybody.
Well, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got through on the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Want to get the punt. Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.